morning, everybody, on this beautiful sunny morning, isn't it? Yes. Now let's raise the roof and do a bit of singing. Today I thought we'd sing "To God Be the Glory."
Let's join in a responsive call to worship if you join in the parts in the bolder print. If you come knowing that you are flawed and in need, then you are in the right place.
We all have a place in God's grace.
If you've come feeling small in the presence of God, then you're in the right place.
In God the small, I am welcome and a place to belong.
If you've come full of gratitude for all that God has done, then you're in the right place. Let's join in standing to sing, "What Shall I Do, My God, to Love?"
Bread and mind to bread.
very warm welcome to everyone this morning. It's lovely to be back after a refreshing break. I think about 90% of me is now back, and the rest will catch up after the jet lag fades away completely. And having expected that, I'm pleased to be able to welcome the Reverend Fiona Morrison. Fee is with us this morning to preach. I thought if I stood in the one spot for that long, I'd probably fall asleep in the middle of... So it's great to be able to welcome you. And if I lose my track at some point, please just forgive me. It's good to be able to gather together as family in God, all of us, from the different experiences of life that we have. Some who might have, like me, just returned from a break, some visiting with us, all welcome. Some who've had the experience of the loss of loved ones. We think of the Davey family, of the Cracknell family, for those who are grieving, for those in sadness, for those who come full of joy or questions, all of us here together belong in God's family. Let's join in prayer. Loving God, we come to a place we think of as your house, and we come knowing that we are hungry. Hungry for a fairer world. Hungry to see more justice for those without power. For such a long list of those. We come looking for the Christ who challenges the comfortable and asks us to give. So remind us again, not just that we are blessed, but that you have blessed us with these hungers too, and invite us to join you in being a blessing to others. Through Jesus. Amen. Now, our psalm for the day is a part of Psalm 22, and we're rather fortunate that Marty Hagen put the words of the psalm to a tune that seems to work quite well. So we're going to stand and sing from Psalm 22 and then spend a moment reflecting on its words with some imagery and music. is we'll sing a response. At the end of each section, the words, "To you we pray with thirsty souls," and we'll sing, "As the deer pants for the water." So if the words for that go up. Let's pray. Eternal and gracious God, in you is the source of all life and the fount of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your mercy we know is without limit, and we thirst for you. We depend on you. We remember your goodness to us and to those who have gone before us. We tell your story in every generation because you are our familiar God, and we are always in need of you. To you we pray with thirsty souls. We know, O God, that you are not our captive, not a God of our own making, not bound by us and not controlled by us. We know that you are ahead of us and leading us, guiding and calling us on. You are the all-compassionate. So to you we lift up our hearts and worship you, recognizing that we and our world are so far from your perfection. So to you we pray with thirsty souls.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.
God, our times seem to be full of violence and tragedy, conflict and pain. We're often scared, terrified by what happens, O God. We know we have no power to end wars, but often we refuse to say anything to stop those who think that wars make peace. We confess to you our part in not sharing the earth's resources fairly and our failure to protect and care for others when we can. In an often dark and disfigured world, we've not always held out the light of life. In a hungry and despairing world, we've often failed to share even our bread. In a cold and often troubled world, we've too often kept your love to ourselves. So to you we pray with thirsty souls.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.
Thank you. you alone, our gracious God, we do find strength, healing, and forgiveness. So we look to you in faith through Christ, and remember that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And in Christ we are restored as God's children. Our sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's listen for God's word now as we hear two readings from the New Testament, from Hebrews chapter 4 and then from Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Thank you.
Hebrews 4. God means what he says. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. And Mark chapter 10, the story of the rich man. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." And he said, "Teacher, I've kept all of these since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter said to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, There's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for inviting me here, and Ian, if you're not off to sleep, we'll just nudge you later. I would like to acknowledge the Gunai Kurnai and the Bunurong people who have been custodians of these lands and waterways for millennia. I give my thanks for their commitment to sharing with us the ways they care for creation and waterways through their culture. I also pay my respect to any First Nation people who are gathered here with us today. Quite often we know this story as the rich man, as we heard Bill say. We know this story as the rich man. But sometimes that word rich can let us hide behind it and say, it's not for us. But what is it about our attachment to possessions, however many or few? About the things that help us feel secure and self-sufficient in this world. Isn't that what we as parents or family try to teach children, to be self-reliant, to be independent, to be self-sufficient? Those things make it difficult for us to really dwell in the kingdom of God. I wonder if this reading is more of a call into a life of vulnerability and interdependence, and the ways in which possessions are a barrier to that, than a statement about wealth on its own. But either way, it is a mind-bendingly hard ask for us as humans, as hard as getting a camel through the eye of a needle. The man's question about eternal life, we think, is about what happens beyond the horizon of his earthly life. Jesus looked at him and loved him. The only time we hear in Mark's gospel of Jesus loving someone using the word agape. Jesus loves the one with many possessions as well as those without any. But what does it mean to care for those with possessions? Jesus loves this person and calls him to follow him, a call into discipleship, calling the man into sharing the vision Jesus has for the world, for the sake of the good news, for the sake of the kingdom of God, a call to an upside-down kingdom where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I think this reading invites us to think about our own relationships, behaviour, and the way we relate and live out the kingdom of God. Eternal life is about life after here and now. But the kingdom of God is not just after, it is now. And we are called to participate in the now, in God's kingdom. How do we seek to serve the poor and the vulnerable? How do we live simply so we can share what we have to enable others to live well too? You can enter the kingdom of God now if you are willing to live kingdom values. For Jesus, he was talking about the Greco-Roman systems. For us, we're talking about commercialism and independence. Jesus is talking about not being self-sufficient, but relying on God and each other as God's community. For me, the point of the story is empowering others and ourselves to being vulnerable, sharing what we have. And that doesn't just mean in possessions, but being vulnerable in who we are and sharing our life story, our love of God, our strength in God, and being willing to hear the vulnerability in others and their life experiences. We don't actually know what this man decided. We just know he was sad about having to give things up. We don't know if he came back or not. And when we made the radical decision to follow God, maybe it was as a teenager or an adult, or maybe it's always been in our life, we can't expect that everyone we love will choose to come with us in this life of following God. And we need to be willing to accept that. But that doesn't mean we stop loving and being vulnerable with them. How do we live in a blessed, beloved community? This is a reminder also from Jesus that harassment, taking up this life, is a threat to the systems of the world, which reminds us of the reading of taking up your cross. How do we live out Jesus' call to help the vulnerable while still feeding our body and caring for ourselves? I know you as a congregation do this through your climate action, through using solar power to enable islands in the Pacific who are sinking to hopefully not sink anymore. How else do we take action? If we just think about life as a waiting room till we die and are with Jesus in eternal life, then we are wasting this gift of life we have now. And in living out God's kingdom now, in caring for each other, the planet, and all creation. This is not about a future world, but it's about the kingdom of God now, in this community, locally, nationally, and globally. Jesus is reminding them that of what they had gained, the disciples, a wider world of freedom, belonging and connection on the other side of their allegiances and privately owned possessions. Can we imagine envisioning our church and thinking about our identity that way? About thinking about ourselves not as an individual, but as part of an interconnected community all the time. The vision Jesus has is a community that shares with each other and God. Not just a biological connection, but a shared vision of the kingdom of God. And living this out as community. Giving up our things is not about poverty, but about being vulnerable to each other and to God. I'd like to read the reading from Mark again, from the NRSVUE. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When we follow, we are living out God's kingdom. We are being vulnerable to each other and to God and sharing what we each will have in terms of possessions and in terms of internal gifts in this upside down kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. Let us pray. God, let us go forth proclaiming the good news that faith is not about who is first or who has the most. It's not even about being perfect. For it is you, God, who will teach us to serve. And we will carry that throughout the world in all we do and are. Amen. Let us sing together, "Christ Be My Leader."
Join together in prayer. Now, the order actually says something else there, doesn't it? So this should be where we have David bring the notices. So I missed that at the bottom of my page. You know what I'll blame. Thank you.
And before David starts, I want to invite the congregation to say thank you to the team led by David that organised yesterday's car boot sale. It was a good day, because I knew you'd be saying something about it in the notices, so I thought I'd better get in first.
Well, thank you very much.
I was wondering this morning whether it's being taken over by a Tasmanian contingent. They're all over the place.
Feet come from there.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, and very welcome to any visitors we have today. Please join us later for a cup of tea and a chat. A big welcome to Fee for being here, and welcome back to Marjorie and Ian. In your notices today, you'll notice that we have the train shed on Wednesday at 3:30 for those who like to play with trains. The choir practices at 4, and the craft group will be there at 9:30. Next Sunday, the mission table will be up and running during morning tea. Now, we still need a webmaster. Please give it some thought. If you can, have a chat to Lindsay after. He'll tell you how easy it is. Because he'd love to retire after over 20 years of doing that website. Now, yesterday we did have a joint fundraiser with the Kindy, the car boot sale. And just let me start by saying thank you, God, for giving us the most perfect of days. Not only was the weather magnificent, there was an absolute buzz in that car park. There were cars with people with all sorts of goods and lots of people coming in to buy the goods. The Kindy was up with all their gear going well. The barbecue was on. The smell of the coffee, and it was good coffee, was fantastic. Don't have a final figure yet because I haven't spoken to Belinda. And we've got a few little bills to sort out, but it'd be well over $1,000, which is not too shabby for our first go at a car boot sale. But of course, nothing happens without the generosity of the people in this congregation. So could I just say a big thanks to all the helpers, the people who helped before to get the posters going, the meetings, the organisation, the helpers on the day, the traffic control, the barbie and the cake stall. Big thanks to the people who made those cakes. Friday afternoon, they just kept coming in. You'd have thought it was a bakery going on. And also the plants that came in to make a plant stall. Nothing happens without you. And the people that came up just to support us on the day, that was fantastic. So if you want to see some photos, Lindsay tells me they're on the website. I've had a bit of a glance. They look terrific. And if you really want one of those cakes and you couldn't make it yesterday, there are some out on the table. They'll be for sale. So get in quick because they're pretty good. And lastly, could I just thank my wife, Mary, who thought this concept up and took it to church council and followed it through to something that we found out that we can do and we can probably do again as a fundraiser for us. So please join us for a cuppa after. Thanks.
Church council on Wednesday.
Nick says there's church council on Wednesday, and he'd know because he sets it up. Thanks, Nick.
I'd like to invite feedback over here.
Eric, got some sound there? Am I on the air?
Nearly. That's better. Thank you. I thought it'd be good to take the opportunity just to introduce Fee and, well, really just to ask her a question or two so she can introduce herself. So, Fee, can you tell us where you've come from and how long you've been in ministry?
I've been in ministry for 24 years, since 2000 I graduated. I grew up in Deniliquin, so for those who might know, you must have was last weekend, happened well after I left. I'm the youngest of nine, and I've been in ministry and through Tamworth and Sydney, Albury. I met Eric when I was and Margaret when I was in northeast Victoria, as a PM, Presbytery Minister, and then Western Ports are down this part of the Mornington Peninsula, and then 6 years across the waters in Tasmania, and then the moderator tapped me on the shoulder and I became Presbytery Chair.
Presbytery Chair. So, that's chairing four meetings a year. What else do you do?
I also chair a standing committee, which meets at least monthly, if not more. I attend property committee, PRC, visit churches, like I visited here a couple of weeks ago. I've attended September camp, placements I'm currently on as well, while we're waiting for someone else. And it doesn't seem a lot. But then when you add in all the conversations, so I've been to Swift's Creek to visit with the people up there to explore things, with Barnsdale as well. Barnsdale, I'm still learning how to say that. Barnsdale, thank you. So Inverloch, Wonthaggi, Cowes, Foster. I'm racking up some Ks.
I'm sure you are. It's a big patch. So can you tell us, are there things you're looking forward to in this particular form of ministry?
Oh, that's a big question. What I'm looking forward to is helping people gather in ways that are intentional, meaningful, and that people feel they matter, and that everybody has a voice, and they feel safe. That might seem like a really obvious, easy thing, because as Christians, we're all nice, aren't we? But sometimes we might say things that it might not seem quite so nice to someone else. But at being Christians, we don't tell that person that was the wrong thing to say or do. And sometimes we need to say, that's not right. So what I'm hoping is that we live out being vulnerable with each other as a community across the presbytery and care for each other and care for God's community in the church walls and beyond the church walls and God's creation.
Thank you. And thank you very much for responding to the invitation to be here. We look forward to seeing you around, not just in committees, but helping with the general life of the church. So it's been wonderful to be able to have you along today and to minister to us, and particularly to me as I'm finding my feet back here again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Unscripted under the griller. Thank you very much. Let's continue to respond to God's generosity as we mark our giving for the kingdom of God's life here amongst us. Now I turn the page and prayers of the people. Let's pray. Loving, gracious God, we have so much to be grateful for. All of the blessings we enjoy in life, for the beauty of nature and its echoes of your wonder, for the warmth of friendship, love, and the care that we experience, for the way that reflects your care and love for us. And we know that we are rich in so many ways, and that so many people lack these and many of life's blessings. We thank you for the great privilege that it is to join with you in your concern for your creation. So we listen for your voice in the voices of those in need. We pray for those we know who are sick, sad, or lonely. For others we know who have lost friends, family. For all who miss loved ones today. And for the many who are ill, surround them with your love and healing and peace. We pray for all who face challenges and tough decisions, and we pray for ourselves. Out of the habits of our past and the comfort of things that are familiar, make us more ready for your newness, ready to embrace challenges, to live the way of your kingdom, to make changes and to rise to new heights in our loving. For God, we want to go on being part of your giving to others. We want to live as your people. We are eager to see a world where everyone has a chance and is valued and able to find their place. We pray for help to be your people. Not aspiring to be able to love everyone adequately ourselves, but as part of a loving community, to be able to reach out with your love and share what we have with the same generosity that we've been shown. We pray for the many who have great needs and no voice in these days of horrendous violence, perpetrated by powerful and resourceful people who channel resources into weapons rather than to those who are in real need. Loving God, brings sense and compassion and peace and balance to our self-destructive world. We pray for those who are struggling with dependency, with unemployment, with poverty, with chronic conditions, and for those suffering oppression or violence. Loving God, for those who are closest to our own hearts, we pray in the quiet. Loving God, bring your compassion, your peace and your healing through Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray together saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn takes us back to that upside-down notion of the kingdom of God. A spendthrift lover is the Lord.
Thank you.
blessing, and then sing a blessing to one another if you join in the parts in the bold white. May the peace of God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, shallow prayers and cheap grace, so that we will live deeply in ourselves and with others. May the peace of God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression and exploitation of people and the earth, so that we will work for justice, equity and peace. May the peace of God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer, so that we will reach out our hand to comfort and change their pain to joy. And may God bless us with the foolishness to think that we can make a difference in our world, so that we will do the things others say cannot be done. Go in peace then to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.